Neil deGrasse Tyson is an astrophysicist and director of the Hayden Planetarium. He has served on presidential councils and written several books, including the New York Times bestseller, Death by Black Hole and Other Cosmic Quandaries. His newest book is The Pluto Files, The Rise and Fall of America's Favorite Planet. I talked to him today about his new book, the public's reaction to Pluto's demotion, and who really is to blame. I remember when, I guess it first kind of came out once it started, you know, leaking through all the presses and the papers and everything. I remember hearing people discussing it, you know, about, oh, no, it's still a, you know, planet, or
people were choosing sides. I mean,
yeah, it was.
Fight.
But I didn't realize how much. I mean, it was just kind of locally amongst friends or whatever people would I'd hear it mentioned. But I really had no idea the firestorm that was going on around this.
Right. That's one of the elements of this that made it so fascinating to me, being kind of in the middle of it for mm-hmm. 6 years, was seeing all the demographic groups of society.
Yeah.
There were like the school children, and then the school teachers, and then my colleagues, and then the humorists who write op-eds, you know, and then the cartoonists, and everybody's choosing sides. And I guess I should feel fortunate that I'm professionally associated with a field mm-hmm. that can trigger so much sort of emotion in the public.
It's actually probably kind of refreshing to know that your field can trigger that kind of reaction, too. I mean, you're sort of often the unsung heroes, I guess.
Well, I don't know if we can take full credit, because along the way there was this character, this dog character.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah. I think I've heard him mentioned somewhere.
You know, Mickey's dog was sketched the very same year that Pluto, the cosmic object, was mm-hmm. discovered. So they have the same tenure in the hearts and minds of Americans. And if you go to Europe and talk about the demotion of Pluto, they don't care. It doesn't operate on them the way it did on Americans. Plus, an American discovered the object, Clyde Tombaugh.
Right.
Plus, he was from Middle America. He was farm boy, farm raised, and so it has all the writings of an epic American tale.
Right. It might be a little different if you had gone and you know, started to try to rename, you know, Saturn or something.
Or Neptune.
Or Neptune,
people,
yeah.
You know, there might have been some murmurs, but you wouldn't have gotten school children protesting it.
Right.
You know, sending me hate mail and crayon-scrawled letters.
Now, I really enjoyed some of the letters from the school children and everything that you were just mentioning.
In fact, of course, there are also letters in there from adults, and sometimes you don't mm-hmm. know the difference between the two.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I did. I think there was. I did appreciate there was one from an older gentleman who was very irate, and as much so as some of the, you know, why don't you like my plan?
Right. I think it was like, this is one angry letter from a slightly older child. I'm 78.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how I learned it. It's a planet, and that's the way it's going to be. Like, okay,
well, the fun part was not just translating them into the text, but to actually put scans of the actual letters themselves, because they're particularly of the school children. You see all the bad penmanship and the bad spelling.
And artwork.
But they draw a picture of Pluto, and mm-hmm. they tell me that's what it looks like, put it back in the exhibit. And my favorite was one girl who wrote, Dear Dr. Tyson, why did you take away my favorite planet? That's discrimination. Okay, write back soon, but not in cursive. I don't know how to read cursive yet.
Yeah, that was great. I suppose it really the whole ordeal probably did well for the Hayden Planetarium as well, and your exhibit. It was kind of the grand opening. It was just the redesign, wasn't it?
It was the redesign, but we were accused of like drumming up all this publicity just to get people to come in. But in fact, again, that's because that's the easy thought to have without actually researching what actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
We opened the exhibit in February 2000 to no fanfare at all.
Right.
And we were worried that it might cause a stir. It did not. And so we said, oh, fine, I guess the public is okay with this.
Yeah, they're open.
It was a year later when the New York Times stumbled on this exhibit and wrote about it in their page one story, Pluto Not a Planet, Only in New York. And it's that headline that started the flow of angered and emotion-ridden email and surface mail into my office.
Yeah, I got a kick out of exactly how they came across it, too. Wasn't he just there visiting with, like, his kid or something and overheard someone else?
A little more subterfugal than that. So, yes, a reporter was visiting with children, and overheard visiting mm-hmm. exhibit, and overheard somebody else,
right,
another kid say, "Mommy, where's Pluto? It's got to be there somewhere. Look, Mommy, where's Pluto? Keep looking, kid. Stop bothering me. Mommy, where's Pluto?" And Mommy goes, "Look, there's no Pluto." And so thought that he's got a story there, but he was not. He doesn't have that beat, right? So he
right.
called back to the office and got the science guy, the science journalist, to come do that story. And so it was one
troublemaker.
What's that?
He was a troublemaker.
Yeah, he's a troublemaker. He's a troublemaker journalist. But that happened a full year after we had opened the exhibit.
We got a probe heading out to Pluto, regardless of what you want to call it.
Exactly. Fastest moving hunk of hardware ever launched.
Yeah. And that'll start to... I'm wondering, even after we learn a few more things, if we might have to go through all this again.
Well, we're not going to somehow learn that it's bigger than what we've already measured it to be.
Right.
And we already know it's mostly ice. So there's some fundamental facts that contributed to these decisions. You already know its orbit is kind of cockeyed.
Right.
So that's not going to change. What we will learn is a little bit more about its environment, about the Kuiper Belt, about whether Pluto has a magnetic field or what its atmospherics is about. Because as it nears the sun, because it has it's the most elliptical orbit of
mm-hmm,
all of them.
Right.
So sometimes it's close to the sun, sometimes it's far, closer to the sun, sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's farther from the sun. That the heat evaporates that ice and makes a little thin atmosphere. There's a lot to learn about Pluto, an object, up close. And every object we've ever visited up close has always been much more fascinating than we've ever imagined it to be.
That's true. We didn't know that, I believe it's Neptune had rings until we
yeah,
got
exactly.
yeah, until we got a little further out.
For starters.
Well, I want to know wanted to talk to you, too, with the Hubble telescope is nearing the end of its lifetime.
Well, we've got a new servicing mission scheduled for it, so that'll give it a new lease on life, literal and figurative.
Yes, true. You have to have been kind of pleased with sort of the results that's come out of the Hubble. And there is actually going to be a replacement down the road as well.
Yeah, I think replacement is a little misleading. There's another telescope, which was birthed as the Next Generation Space Telescope. And that's what gave people the impression that it would be sort of bigger, better.
Mm-hmm.
But this Next Generation is a very different telescope. And its pictures it will be taking will not have the stunning sort of awestruck qualities of the Hubble telescope. This telescope will be tuned to see the galaxies forming in the early universe. And while that's an interesting thing to look at, there'll be sort of smudges, basically,
right.
that will be smudges we've never seen before. But the real, what'll be interesting about the photos is what's going on in them, the knowledge of what's going on in them, rather than just whether they make beautiful posters on your wall.
Right. So the Hubble was a little bit more of the public's telescope, and this will be
exactly.
a little bit more of the scientist's telescope.
Exactly. You know, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
Mine, I'll borrow those phrases. Next
no,
time.
No, please do. Yeah, I've enjoyed everything. Really, the past, I don't know, maybe even just the past decade, certainly within the past two decades, the amount that we've learned with the newer probes and the newer telescopes has just been, it seemed we went through a period where we didn't really learn all that much new, or at least it wasn't made as public, or maybe the public wasn't as interested. But maybe it was just because we couldn't make it prettier.
Here's what you're noticing. There was a time when there was one mission at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the Voyager.
Oh, that's true.
The outer, so you, and there's all this dead time between planets while it was en route from one to the other. And at most, there were two missions that anyone was paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got, like, rovers on Mars.
Right.
We're in orbit around Mercury. We're in orbit around Saturn.
We're slamming things in the comets.
Right. On the comets. That's slamming things in the comets. We've got spaceship to Pluto, where we're reinvigorating our return to the moon. And so all this is going on, and we have got all these telescopes in orbit,
mm-hmm.
not only visible light telescopes, but telescopes in other bands of light that help us see things that you otherwise wouldn't know about. We have X-ray telescopes that spot black holes at a distance.
Right.
And we have gamma-ray telescopes that spot titanic explosions across the universe. So the universe has always been this active. We just haven't been able to eavesdrop on it in the way we have lately.
Well, it was a real thrill for me to speak with Dr. Tyson. I've been a fan of his for some time. The Pluto Files is a great read, and I truly recommend it. Thanks for listening. This is JohnJay.net.